Live from the MyTalk 107.1 studios.
Where'd the little kid with the cute voice go?
Hey, things change. Teenagers' voices, radio station names. But one thing's still the same. My mom and dad's awesome radio show. So let's try this again. Live from the MyTalk 107.1 studios in St. Paul.
And my mom's room down the hall.
It's Ian and Marjorie on MyTalk 107.1.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be.
I don't want the song to end, but good morning, everyone. And welcome to a special edition of The Morning Show. Live on My Talk on this Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm Jace with Lex and Holly. And we are thrilled to be joined by Marjorie as we pay tribute to
our dad
and our mom,
Ian and Marjorie on My Talk 107.1.
There we go.
My boys.
Your men.
My men.
Yeah. There's Crunchy and Itchy, or however I used to call them. But anyway. This hour is going to be great because we're joined by two people who barely have security clearance into our building anymore, but that's fine.
But they made it.
But somehow they got through the gate. We're talking
barely.
We're talking about our dear friends, Colleen Lindstrom and the one, the only, the master of Ian's 150 clips that he would request every day. Producer Paul Black.
Yay! Good morning.
Paul, do you have the clips for this hour ready to go?
I did want to say, you cut that intro off, and we needed that whole intro every single morning. Ian would drive me crazy. Marjorie, how often was he on time
never.
At the beginning of the show?
Never.
Every time I confronted him, he had this weird adrenaline rush need to hear the intro start in his car in the parking lot.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why the intro was so long, because so he had time from his car to get to the studio.
Okay, can I punctuate this by telling people about the layout of this building? It is a maze. It is not a quick run from the parking lot up to where we are. You have to snake through the bowels of the building.
Yes.
And come up the steps. There's like ups and downs and arounds and up, and then you arrive in the studio. It is a, I don't know, I'm going to say 5-minute walk.
And Pauly, he was that way always. Always. Oh, okay. Always in his career. He always
Just in time.
Just in time. Because he liked the adrenaline of coming on and just starting the show. But it caused producers for 30 years heart palpitations. But that was his thing.
I can vouch for 10 of those years.
Yes, for 10 of those. But it was always that way. It was always that way. He would be in bed. And the morning, like, he was always did mornings. And I'd be like, you kind of need to go. He's like, I got it. And he just liked to just walk in like a second before the show was supposed to start. And more often than not, would you say, Paulie, he was on time, but it was always really close.
Look at Paulie. You have to answer that. You have to answer that.
I'm trying to come up with a percentage. I would say 60 to 70% of the time on time.
Yep, but that was the way he was going to start the show every morning. Every morning.
I did not know that he sat in the parking lot.
Yep, till the open started.
Yeah, he'd like to hear the open in his car in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Very particular man. Very particular.
Love that. Paul, we were laughing in our first hour with Alexis and Holly, and I want to start here. Because Alexis and I were new at the time, we admired you. We feared for you sometimes. We laughed about you because we knew how many audio clips Ian would request on any given day. And Lex and I joked, because it was just the two of us. Lex looked at me one day in by Lori and Julie's Double Wide, and she goes, basically, bitch, I ain't doing that. Like, I just have my eye. Don't you even submit clips. I am Paul Black. I ain't doing that.
It's just audio and a time cue. Okay, done.
But beyond that, it wasn't so. It was, yes, there were tons of clips.
Yes.
And we didn't use all of them. But it was even clips during the show where he would have the TV on and Good Morning America was interviewing Will Smith. Yeah. And they would finish, and he'd go, "Oh, looks like Good Morning America had Will Smith on. We'll have that next on My Talk 107.1.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have to scramble to pull that interview. That's why there's four TiVo units in this building, or was. We were recording every single morning show because he would do that.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, which one was that?
His mind, he once described it like a lazy Susan. Like, it was constantly spinning. And there was always something that he was picking up and putting down, picking up and putting down. I mean, his mind was built for radio, you know, that we do everything in 8-minute segments. It was built for that. That's the way he thought. That's the way he produced. That's the way. And he was always putting things together in real time. So it was fascinating to watch. I mean, we were the way our minds worked were completely different.
Opposite, yeah.
You know, I'm very much a little bit more methodical. And he was great. He loved that adrenaline of let's get it now. And very much that sort of that news mentality of if it's there, I've got to have it first. You know, always trying to get it, always trying to get it. And then 100% originality. I mean, just always writing, as like I said before, trying to write fresh jokes, new jokes, figuring out a way to make me laugh. And Jace, you said earlier, and I meant to say this then, you said, you know, what was it like to work with your husband? And I think about this often with such great gratitude of who gets 10 years of their husband working so, so hard to make you laugh for 4 hours a day. I mean, I'm heartbroken that he's not with me. But at the same time, I look at that, I can only think with gratitude of like, oh my God, like, I'm just so grateful because he worked, as Paulie knows, he worked really hard to make me laugh. I made him earn it.
Oh, Colleen, when you think of Ian, is there something that floats to the top of the pool for you?
Oh, gosh. All the things. So first of all, I'm like I have like a cry trigger. So I like came in already. And I knew this was going to happen. So don't even look at me, Marjorie.
I know. Colleen was texting me all morning. Every time Colleen would cry, she texted me. Yeah. So yeah.
You know, it's I always think of the first time I met Ian. The station had just gone on the air months before I came in, like green as can be. Just wanted to work in radio, didn't really know what I wanted to do, didn't really know what I was capable of doing. And I was I was interviewing for a sales position, which I ended up getting, which is comical. Don't even get me started. But I came in the station and I had heard Ian on the air. And I had this image in my head of this like larger than life, like in my mind, very tall, very like, you know, you know, a person who kind of felt comfortable taking up space. And I walked in and Ian was not tall.
No.
But he was sitting in the office of the person with whom I was interviewing. And I walked in for my interview and I'm like, you guys, like, you know, nervous sweats, like I'm a kid. And he stops everything and turns his attention. I know you guys were talking about this earlier, about the way that Ian could make you feel like you were the only person in the world. Yeah. He turned all of his attention to this, like, who am I, right? Like, I'm nobody to him in this moment. But he like, zeroed in on me and started asking me questions and talking to me like I was a human being. And it completely disarmed me. It made me so comfortable. It made me ready for the. That's probably why I got the dumb job that I was so bad at. But now I'm here. And he kind of was always, he was always there. He was always a part of the fabric of this radio station for me from the second I walked in, the second I saw him.
He probably saw another person to mentor.
Yes.
A new person. There's a new one.
Well, and I know, I don't even know what time it is. Do we have a time?
Okay. Who cares? Bea Arthur's not even in the building.
She actually is. And she's looking in the window right now. And she has a knife. No, I'm just kidding.
What has happened to this radio station?
Very frightening, Marjorie.
Marjorie, that's new. We have arson.
Honestly, that track, she's got a knife.
Listen, this has turned into a very intense place.
Marjorie, but here's what's great. I don't work here, so I can do whatever I want. Okay, so speaking of mentoring, like this, and I told this story, I wrote about this a little bit earlier, about this time that I had been asked to fill in for the former producer of the morning show, Brother Rob. And for those of you who know Rob Poulin, there was something that he brought to the table that was like his special sauce. And I came into this role and I thought, well, I got to be whatever Rob is. Mm. And spoiler alert, I couldn't. And and I remember so well, I mean, I was sitting exactly where Paul is sitting and Ian was sitting where Alexis is sitting and we could see each other and I was struggling. And Ian didn't rescue me. He didn't get in the way of me learning what I needed to learn in that moment. And it was the most uncomfortable 4 hours of my life to date. And he just had this quiet way of letting me struggle through it and discover what I needed to do and maneuver my way through this awful, terrible experience. And then he still loved me after. You know, I always felt Ian in the corner cheering for me for the rest of my career. I could feel Ian. He would send me like little notes on the air years later after he'd retired. And I would think, he's listening. And I always felt him in the corner just cheering us on. And that is how he mentored, with like a quiet strength and a way of letting people make their mistakes so that they could grow. Mm. Even if it didn't feel that way in the moment.
But it was really good about articulating that, you're right, with a text or an email, like, here's a link, I just thought about you.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'm listening, I'm laughing, this is so funny.
Yeah, and do more of that.
And to hear, for Ian to be laughing, I mean, Marjorie, for me, Marjorie's an easy laugh. Maybe not for Ian.
But he's for me, work.
Yeah. And when Marjorie laughs, it's like the birds are singing.
Yes.
It's my best. Favorite thing. But to know that Ian was laughing and enjoying himself was a high honor. Because of what you said, Marjorie, about how he worked in his own, his mind worked like nobody else's.
No,
nobody else's. And you had to admire it, and to watch it was like, you know, both probably Paul frustrating, but also
exhilarating,
also like amazing, right? Like I didn't have to work directly with it. So I could just sit back and be like, how does he do that?
He just said those words on GMA.
Right? Yeah, he was just, so to know that he was cheering for you was an honor.
Paul, what was it like?
Put it.
How could you get control? Marjorie referred to it as a lazy Susan. How could you grab a hold of the lazy Susan and stop it long enough for you to grab something off it?
It was, in the moment, it was very frustrating and sort of difficult. But in the later years, he and I had he could give me a look and I knew what he wanted. Oh, yeah. And I knew where the show was going to go. He and I had this unspoken language where I could tell where we were going, where things were headed, what he wanted next. It was really very strange.
The best was Polly was came down to Manhattan, Kansas, which is where I live now, for Ian's funeral. And Paul and I were laughing because imagine being Paul Black. And I don't know that people understand. I was in a studio at home. Ian was in the studio here at the radio station. Ian and I could not talk to each other off air. We could only talk to each other on the air. So if there was behind
Marjorie, some things haven't changed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I can't talk to Alexis. It's 2024. Nothing has changed.
So Polly was in the middle of our marriage if something wasn't going well.
Oh,
Polly,
yeah.
Would you like to take over?
Yes, yes. So.
Oh, yeah. Tell us more.
Polly, do me a favor.
Yes.
Polly, hold that thought.
Can do that.
Yes.
Let's take a break because, oh, God, yeah. Marjorie, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. He was literally not a show. Mm-mm. He was in the middle of your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're gonna in the center.
more memories from Paul and Colleen as our tribute to Ian continues. We'll be back after this.
Where talk is fun.
This is so much fun. Yay! Yay.
My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
Oh, my friends, it's Jace for Red Cow and Red Rabbit. Hey, do me a solid. I think kids still say that. I don't know. Do me a solid. Head to my Instagram account or Red Cow's Instagram account and click on my stories, and you will see that Red Cow is up for the best restaurants readers poll. So nominate Red Cow for best burger, because you know it is. They have won so many awards already. Their double barrel burger is award winning. I love the 60-40. That's won awards. Their chips and dip have won awards. It's just, I mean, it's basically an Oscar winning restaurant. I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now. And their happy hour has won an Oscar. The Star Tribune named it one of the best happy hours in the metro. That's a lot of restaurants. Tuesday through Friday, 2 to 5:30. Before you go to a theater thing in downtown Minneapolis, belly up to Red Cow North Loop. You'll probably see me there. Run to Red this week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Remembering the life well lived and the show we loved. Here's another classic Ian Punnett highlight from Ian and Marjorie.
Can you tell me, Snooki, when did you realize, okay, I'm famous?
Pretty much at birth. I knew it.
So. I started thinking about all the people I know who, from the second they were born, they always knew one day they would be famous. And if I had to be totally honest with you, I'd say that was me.
What do you mean?
I can't think of a time when I didn't think I wasn't going to be famous.
I guess the problem with Snooki is, how do you know that when you don't have any discernible talent?
What? I don't have any discernible talent. Whatever you say about Snooki sticks on me, too.
Okay, I'm going to shut up about Snooki.
Girlfriend, I can't do anything right. You know it's true. Ian Snooki Punnett.
Oh.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
Welcome back to a special edition of the morning show built by Ian and Marjorie. This is Jason and Alexis in the morning. We're joined by Marjorie, our dear friends, Colleen Lindstrom and Paul Black. And before the break, Marjorie hinted that more often than not, poor Paul Black, because of the colonial equipment we're dealing with here, basically, we're working in a working museum. Marjorie would not be able to talk to Ian during the broadcast. And again, as we made Marjorie laugh, things haven't changed. I still can't talk to Alexis, and Alexis can't talk to me. But anyway, Paul, what was that like? You were, as Marjorie put it, literally in the middle of their marriage.
Yes. there were many, because I don't know if anybody ever thought that. Ian and Marjorie is an actual married couple. They are a married couple, and married couples disagree on things.
Yes.
And again, so Ian couldn't talk to Marjorie. Marjorie couldn't talk to Ian directly, except live on the air. But they could each talk to me. So I can remember many times, and I'm going to pull out a hypothetical where we'd go to break, and Ian would say, on My Talk 107.1, boom, and we'd go to break, and Ian would say, ask Marjorie what that was about. Ian wants to know what that was about. What was about? Marjorie doesn't know what you're talking about. Remind Marjorie that's not how we go to break. Ian didn't think that's how we should go to break. Well, tell Ian that's how I go to break. Marjorie just says that's how she's going to do that. Well, remind Marjorie we're trying to move the show forward. Ian just thinks we're not moving the show forward. Have him call me.
When it went to the call, you knew there was a serious conversation that was going to happen.
I'm out.
Oh, I could watch you do that bit all day, Paul. And I have. I made him entertain me at lunch once with that, because it was so true.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is great.
Because for people who may not have picked up on it, I'm a bit of a wild thing. Mm-hmm. And you can't really tame me.
You're bad Marjorie. Remember that?
That was bad Marjorie. Always. Always.
Oh, gosh. I remembering back, and all five of us were part, and we referenced this a lot, because it was, and Marjorie, you've never really heard us talk about this. We always reference the first project Down and Dirty as a turning point for the station.
It was magical.
It was really, now look, we hate it to this day because it started the bosses on, again, if the bosses think something goes right, they go back to the teat until the cow dies. And you know what I mean?
And oh, so yeah.
And then we buy another cow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 2011, and we're still nursing that teat. Yeah. Anyway, but it was a turning point, Marjorie. And again, I don't know if you've ever heard us reference this because none of us were really overly close.
No.
Not for any particular reason, but we didn't, Lex and I, well, Lex knew you guys better because she was here before me, but Lex and I really didn't know you two very well. Lex, I think I can speak for you in that. I mean, not overly familiar. Colleen and Bradley were new. They were a weekend show. I didn't really know them. I knew Bradley, but the Colleen and the boys, they were like from Pluto. I mean, you know, they spoke their own language. And then you had Lori and Julia, who quite literally scared the crap out of us. You know, I mean, just scared all of us. And
yes.
And that first project, Down and Dirty, and that Lex knows where I'm going
over wine slushies.
Wine slushies.
My goodness.
I will never forget Ian's face. Ian, a good church-going, God-fearing man.
Ordained, Jason. Ordained in the Episcopal Church.
That's right. And he's sitting there, and we are playing a game. And we've never really told this through Ian's point of view, but I'm going to include Ian here, obviously. We are playing a game of who has the craziest life story, just like the nuttiest. And it can be in any nature, sexual in nature or you did a crazy stunt or whatever.
And guess which direction they all suddenly went in?
Weird. Yes.
Weird. It all went to a sexual nature.
Yes.
Surprise.
And it went down to Lori, and it went down to Lori and me.
Yeah.
And
are
Lori
we surprised?
And I can't remember Lori's story, so guess whose story wins?
Yeah.
And we won't repeat it?
No,
we shan't repeat this.
Okay.
But over the years, I will hint at what Lori's was, because Lori has openly talked about this. So I have. Lori was in the middle of some sort of lovemaking, and dude fell asleep.
Okay.
Like, flat out fell asleep. And in some form of coochie coo, you know, just something. And we all died laughing. Mm-hmm. And now my darling Alexis had known what I had teed up. She knew my story before any of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come out with my story and I looked over at Ian, and there's not a punchline, but there's a finale to my story that is like, that is exorcist like. That's what I'll say.
That's a good way to put it, Jace.
It's
yeah.
exorcist Linda Blair. It's exorcist like. And I looked over at Ian and the color left Ian's face. Just, Ian was as white as a ball of cotton.
Uh-huh.
And I then realized, oh my goodness, I'm telling this in front of an ordained, like I'm telling this in front of Ian, who I barely know. And
oh my
he
gosh.
Is looking at me with befuddlement, amusement, and complete fear of what I do.
And can I add, Jason?
Yeah.
Yes, you were telling that story in front of my husband and the other 150 people that were sitting in the wine garden with us. And I will never forget, because I really gather a bunch of drunken talk show hosts together
who have all
fallen in love with each other. At this point, we're kind of drunk, except
sleep
me
deprived.
Because he didn't drink.
Oh, no.
So he's not, but the rest of us are slightly tipsy.
Yes!
And we're all like, it's a love fest, and we're laughing, and we're loud. And I just remember, I think we kind of cleared the wine garden at the Minnesota State Fair, because people are like taking their children and putting their hands over their ears.
Yes.
It was like one of the best nights of my life. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it changed. It changed the station. We all, Lori and Julia seemed less scary after that night. We got to know you and Ian, Colleen, and, you know, it was just
wonderful.
Was a,
You were like mom and dad in the front room, you know?
Yep.
We were in a trailer sleeping on, I think we got, well, we got the table that turned into a bed that
because of you.
Because, yeah, I went in the wrong door and details, you know? And then we were on an air mattress at the feet of Lo J. And then mom and dad were in the front room. And yeah. It was just, yeah. And it you guys would come out and listen. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was a turning point for sure.
Absolutely. We're going to take a turning point called a commercial break. More clips, more memories, more emails from you when we come.
Remembering the life well lived and the show we loved. Here's another classic Ian Punnett highlight from Ian and Marjorie.
Good morning, Khloe Kardashian Odom, or just Khloe Odom. It's got a cool ring to it, you know?
I like that. No one ever calls me just Khloe Odom, kick and scream, but you did it.
I'm calling you Khloe Odom all morning long. I've been promoting you as Khloe Odom since we went on the air this morning.
Yay!
I think it's really cool, and I think and there's nothing wrong with Kardashian. You know, I'm down with the Armenians, right? I'm cool.
Woo-hoo.
Khloe Odom, now still of the best looking and the most successful of the Kardashian sisters.
Are you talking to me?
Of course he's talking to you.
If another sister was on the line, I got confused.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
And welcome back to a special tribute here on The Morning Show, the show that Ian and Marjorie built right here on My Talk. Everything entertainment, everything Ian. I'm Jace with Lex and Holly. We're joined by our friend Marjorie family. Family member Marjorie Punnett. Colleen Lindstrom. Well, Lex, they barely got through security. Colleen Lindstrom and Paul Black. I mean, there's an asterisk there, Lex. There's an asterisk with those two. I mean,
The
security guard had to wand them. If you have to be wanded to come in the building.
Yeah, you're not family.
Twice.
I am family because I had to text the security guard to say, can you help me get in? Because I have her phone number.
You were wanted twice, Polly?
Lucky?
He was very gentle.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say something about Khloe real quickly?
Yeah.
Do you mind? No, you go, Jace. I think I interrupted you.
Girl, it's your show. Again, you're still on paperwork. You still basically, subletting this damn thing from you, so go ahead. No, what tell?
I loved hearing Khloe, because she was one of my favorite Kardashians to interview. And it just reminded me, hearing that, and this is why I'm so grateful to the station for pulling up all these clips. One of the things Ian did so beautifully is we get offered in radio, particularly when you're in the mornings, you get offered these people. And, you know, you get offered celebrities. And they come on because they're promoting something. And Ian always loved to throw them off their game. Like, you can promote that for a moment. That's the exchange. But we're not going to swirl around in that. We're not going to stay in that. And so part of what he would always do is find something really unique to do with the talent. And one of my favorite things was Jimmy Carter had written a book of poetry. And I didn't know because I wasn't paying attention. And all morning long, he's like, I've got a special thing for you. Top of the hour, 8 o'clock. You know, somebody's going to read you some poetry. And I'm like, yawn, great, thanks. That's going to be good. Great bit, Ian. So out of the box at the top of the hour, this man just starts reading poetry. And it was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was just, he would do these really unique things with the celebrities so that we would see them in a different way. When he was at WGN in Chicago, he used to have a segment at 8 o'clock at night where he, because he was sad, he couldn't read bedtime stories to the boys. He would have celebrities pick their favorite children's book and have them read a book. And it was called Book at Bedtime. And it was so unique. And it was such an insight to the celebrity because you know so much about somebody when they tell you this was my favorite children's book. Mm. So he was always so good.
That's hard to do. That's hard to do with publicists. Yep. Time constraints, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but to celebrate what Ian did for the listeners listening, you should know that's not easy to do.
Right.
The easy thing is to lean on, tell me how you got this role. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the easy thing to do.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so it's just fun to hear Khloe.
Too, because then they could share something else about themselves.
Something different.
And if I could just punctuate this by saying the other thing about Ian is if a publicist came back to him about that, he would not care. He was not thinking about that, right?
No.
Like that was never... No, there are some green people in radio. I would have been this person who would have been like, well, we got to keep the publicist happy, right? Because then Ian did not care.
No.
Nope.
Everything
nope.
was in service of the bit. Everything was in service of the punchline.
Of being interesting.
Of being interesting and, yeah. And entertaining. Now, this is what I want people to hear, too. Everything, and I'm talking to the listeners, everything was about you.
Yeah.
It was always about you. What was the payoff for you? And so, you know, we know when we're behind these microphones that we're not saving lives, doing surgery, whatever. But making people happy is honestly the joy of this job. And yeah. Ian punctuated that, put an exclamation point on that for everybody.
Thank you.
And one in particular, as we get emails from you.
You've got mail.
Marjorie, this is for you from Madeline. Madeline writes, hi, Marjorie. I grew up listening to Ian and Marjorie on my way to school with my mom. She made me a My Talker for life, as did Ian and Marjorie. Ian always managed to put a smile on my face, as did Marjorie. I clearly remember a time, and please, Marjorie, correct me if I have any details wrong, when Ian had some sort of surgery or something and was on some sort of painkiller, and Marjorie was trying really, 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 really hard to get off the air or end the show quickly. She was so sweet, and he took it with grace. They were awesome in my talk. I cried that day laughing, and I'm crying for a different reason today. Hmm. We love you, Marjorie.
Yeah, that was a morning. Polly and I are looking at each other like, yeah, he had a medical procedure, and I still don't understand it to this day, but the drugs were still in his system.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very strange, and he got up that morning. I'm like, sweetie, you cannot go to work. It's like, I'm fine. And my son had swim practice in the morning at Hamlin. And so I'm like, you know, Gar, you've got to drive him to work because he's not going to get in that car. And then Gar tells the story of like delivering him to the door and like, see you, Dad. See you. And then it was Polly's problem. And yeah. Polly just, I remember Polly in the morning, and he's like, he's asleep on the mic.
Oh, gosh.
So that's enough of that story, but we got him off the air by like 6:15.
That
he refused to leave. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. So that new Simpsons DVD came out yesterday. Get him off the air.
But then in typical Ian fashion, the next day we replayed the clips of him in the morning from 6 to 6:10 and we laughed so hard. Everything was about, how do we recycle it? Is this funny? It didn't matter that he was out of his head. It was funny. It was funny. And we laughed so hard the next day.
We have another clip before we break here that Marjorie would like to play in our collection of clips that Rocco beautifully curated for hours and hours. But we should say we wanted to make this worthwhile in a variety of ways. And one of them is to give back, as Ian always did. So we are raising money for the Ronald McDonald House. This was important for to Marjorie for us to do. And we know that you will take this and run with it, listeners. So go to mytalk1071.com right now and give to the Ronald McDonald House. It's a charity that meant a lot to all of us here at My Talk. So thank you.
You can donate at mytalk1071.com. There's a picture of Ian and Marjorie. Just click on that. And a big thank you to Shuler Shoes. They've already donated $1,000.
Oh, yeah. I love Shuler Shoes.
They're the best.
Shuler Shoes. Okay, now, Marjorie, I have, it's like Casey Kasem. I have heard you put in your request.
I did.
You have a, because again, Rocco pulled like 8,000 clips. And one of them is you, I think, snoring. He caught you snoring.
He recorded me snoring. And to this day, people still mention this. And I haven't heard it since I heard it live.
Okay, let's do this. Where is that one? Yawning, belching. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break.
Yawning, belching, snoring.
No,
you're right there.
Yeah,
I know. That's the show.
I'm going through all of them, and Rocco beautifully named them, all of these things.
Yawning, and belching. Like,
belching, blah, blah, blah. And let me just see, before we take a break, I just want to make sure we have that one.
It is. Are you looking at the board, Jace?
Yeah, I'm looking at the board, yeah. Let's take a break. I'll find that. And then we have some fun clips to wrap up this portion of the tribute. And Alexis and I have something to say to Marjorie. So we'll be right
back. Remembering the life well lived and the show we loved. Here's another classic Ian Punnett highlight from Ian and Marjorie.
Have you ever experienced love at first sight?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I don't know who that guy is, but I guess he's very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And 54% of men say they've experienced love at first sight.
Have you?
Yeah, I did. I proposed to you the first moment I met you. Remember?
I do remember.
Okay.
So because we're married.
Okay. But I mean, that was my proof of that.
So, right. My proof of that was I accepted.
Six months later, after you broke up with the other guy.
I'm a slow processor. But I accepted, didn't I? Despite all odds.
And the odds against that one were what? What were all odds?
Not this morning.
Meaning what?
It's the weekend.
Okay.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
And it begins right here on the show that they built. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning on this Wednesday, March 13th. Another great clip from the Ian and Marjorie show. Don't forget, in honor of Ian, you can donate right now to the Ronald McDonald House on mytalk1071.com. And we thank a friend of Ian and Marjorie, Schuler Shoes, a longtime partner, for their contribution already. Thank you, Schuler Shoes.
I want that laugh from the end of that clip.
Yes.
That was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You got him laughing
it was
too, Marjorie.
Genuine Ian Punnett belly laugh. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of belly laughs, we have a few clips that we want to try to get in. And I knew this would happen. This went way too fast. We could spend another 3 hours with you, you, Colleen, and Paul and Marjorie. But this was a request from Marjorie. I found both of them. Oh, this is another classic clip. This is when Ian recorded Marjorie snoring. Take a listen to this.
This is the apex of my day right now. Nothing will get better from this point forward. So last night when I was having a dream. And I was in my dream, I was disturbed by a bunch of cows in our house. And then I woke up and then I realized Marjorie was mooing in her sleep. So I grabbed my iPhone and I recorded it because I knew she'd never believe me.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not in your life. I'm not sure I believe you now.
And now here's the sound of actual cows. I'm surprised you didn't wake up and demand that I milk you. That's pretty good, Bessie.
Do you remember that, Paul?
I remember that morning because I had to find the cow clips.
Choir together.
And I warned him not to do that bit. I said, is that a good idea, Ian? I don't think that's a good idea.
Again, get in the middle of the marriage, Ian, Paul. Get in the middle of the marriage.
I was trying. He went ahead and did it.
Anyway.
Marjorie, what do you remember about that day?
I could not believe that was me. it was me.
Paul, we do. Rocco pulled some clips that include you. Oh. I want to give you, it's a choose your own adventure. And then Lex and I have something we want to say to Marjorie. And you're going to hear a little bit of Ian's final broadcast here on My Talk. But here, Paul, here you go. Would you like to hear Ian quizzing Marjorie and Paul about classic rock?
Okay.
A clip described as self-pleasure at work. or a clip described as trading favors in the relationship.
You got to go with number two.
Thank you. Thank
you. I think that's easy.
Okay. That would be, let's see here, it's doing it. Rocco called it doing it.
Here's her full statement. It got so bad I would pleasure myself up to 47 times a day. That's when I asked for help. I knew it wasn't normal.
Yeah,
at 47?
45 still normal.
35. You're still thinking.
I'm good.
Isn't everybody doing this?
How many people are actually doing this at work? Honestly, he acts like that's something that's even a norm here.
Paul?
Okay. Hold you know what?
Yes. And the answer is
okay, Polly.
Oh goodness.
Oh gosh.
That was great, Paul.
Nicely done, Paul.
Hold on a second.
Oh my gosh. Some fine timing there, Paul.
Yeah. Wait, I have to ask a question because I have to know this. Who played the sounders? Like who was playing the porn music and the ding?
Was that you, Paul?
I had the, in that particular clip, I had the ding, Ian had the porn music.
Okay, yeah. That's so, I love that.
Teamwork. Yeah.
Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Yep.
Yeah. That's and so what great. A strange sentence that is.
I know.
Ian had the porn music, and I had the ding. Welcome to morning radio.
Yay.
Sounds like it wasn't just the ding.
yeah, seriously. Marjorie, real quick, again, we have two more clips we want to get in before we get pushed out of here by B. Arthur. Can you explain for maybe new listeners of my talk what Happy Boy was? Because it's what we're getting the most emails about. Can you quickly explain what exactly Happy Boy was?
Happy Boy was, I think Ian would tell a joke every morning before we would go to the 8 o'clock break, because it coincided with mothers and fathers dropping their kids off at school. So if you were listening to My Talk 107.1, you could hear the joke, you could laugh in the car together with your kids, and then, you know, send them off to school. And Ian did it specifically for all of the kids in the Twin Cities, but most specifically for our sons, because I would take a break from 7:45 to 8 o'clock and drive our sons to school. So the boys and I would sit in the car, and they would hear their dad send them off to school with a laugh and a smile.
Here's a little bit of the Happy Boy song.
I was walking down the street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. A feeling in my bones says I have my way. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way. Hey, hey. Yeah, my little dog Spot got hit by a car. Hubba, 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 hubba. Put his guts in a box and put him in a drawer. Hubba, 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 hubba.
That's a little bit of the Happy Boy song.
Wow. And I think we cut off the last
it
part.
It went dark.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we used the dark part.
I never knew that part.
Yeah, well, no.
Well, before our time is up, Marjorie, Alexis and I were talking, and if it would be okay with you, in honor of Ian, Lex and I would like to bring back Happy Boy on our show every day.
That would be lovely. He would love that.
We will do it just like Ian did. We'll rely on Alexis for the dad jokes, but we will do it.
Cut out the dead dog part.
Yeah, okay, we will. Holly, could you part. Cut off the dead? Yeah. We submit
don't
that.
Like the dead dog part.
No,
just put a sensor beep over it. That
yeah,
one.
Yeah, just thank cut
you.
It.
Let's have a meeting. I remember how that song went. I can help you.
Yeah,
set
let's
that
have
up.
A meeting.
Perfect.
Let's have
yeah.
a meeting.
But if that would be all right with you,
it's 100% all right. It's in good hands.
It's in. We just thought it would be a great way to pay tribute to Ian and the show that he built every single day on our show, and how
I
we've messed it up
that.
Since then. Okay,
yeah, we'll get one segment yeah. right.
Exactly. here's a little bit of Ian's last a minute and a half on My Talk when he signed off in 2013. Let's take a listen to this before we have to say goodbye.
Let's get
Deus te amat.
And I do too.
And we do too.
Hey, it's Colleen.
And I do too.
It's Jason, and right back at you, buddy.
Hi, it's Stephanie Hansen, and I do too.
Hi, this is Rusty Gatenby, and I do too.
It's the Rook from 1500. Ian, remember, I knew you when you were broadcasting from the attic of your house in Atlanta. And hey, I do too.
Hey, it's Marley, and I do too.
Hey, it's Reavers. Remember me? I do too.
Hey, Ian, this is General Manager Dan Seaman, and I do too.
Hey, it's Phil and Laurie.
And Phil and Julia.
And we do too.
And so do we.
I do too. Hey, sexy pants, it's Kenny. That goes for me too.
Hey, Brad Satin here, and I do too.
Ian is Argo. And I do too.
And I do too.
Me too.
Hi, it's Vanita Sarkar, and I do too.
It's Alexis. What they said.
Hey, it's Brad.
And I do too.
Hey, it's Amy Daniels, Program Director at My Talk 107.1. And I do too.
Hey, it's me, Sonia, General Sales Manager. I do too.
And I do too.
It's been said that each of us can influence up to 250 people in our lifetimes. How will you be influential? Be bold. And mighty unseen forces will come to your aid. I love you all.
And there it is.
Ooh.
That's Ian signing off for the last time here on My Talk. And I know we almost made it. We almost made it.
We got to restock in here.
We almost made it. So, yeah. Marjorie, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
On behalf of all of us. thank you for coming in today and sharing your husband with us. And thanks for just being a great member of our family.
Thank you. It's been really, really lovely to laugh.
We love you.
We love you too.
And Paul and Colleen, security would like you to
thank
leave.
Thank you.
Now.
But it's time to go.
I'm sorry.
So
I had to end
Lauren.
It. I know. We had to end it. Ian would not like us to be all maudlin. So, Paul, Colleen, your security pass, your visitor
love
pass
you.
Is
bye
expired.
Bye.
Yeah. But you'll be back, Marjorie.
Marjorie will
the
be back.
Today.
That's right.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.